Hard Place, a novel by R.A. Jacobson. Listener discretion is advised. Contains strong language, violence, and some adult situations.
Chapter 10. Next time. After signing up, he would find a spot in the back of the room and nurse his customary single beer until his name was called. He would grab his black guitar, painted with voodoo, hex, and alchemy symbols, and stride purposely to the stage. After struggling to tune his instrument, head down, he'd lose himself in the music and play his two songs. Toward the end, he'd look up, expecting to see the devil watching him from back of the room. He never was there. He would bask in the warmth of the applause that swept over him, never noticing that no one looked at him when they clapped, nor that their conversation had never ceased while he played. Next time, he would tell himself. Sitting in the back, he would resolve he would see the grin on the devil's face turn to the desolation he sought, and he would see the devil cry. After finishing his beer, he headed back to his apartment and his cat. Filled with light and certainty, he was already preparing for next week's open mic. At night, asleep, he would dream of his brilliant future, with fans roaring his name and standing in the back, the devil wiping burning tears from his cheek. He was on his way. It was just a song away.
Chapter 11. Matt talks to the bartender. Matt turned down the street, looking through the windshield of his bug. The wipers stuttered back and forth in the light rain. He shut them off, annoyed. It had rained, not hard, but consistently, for most of the afternoon and into the evening. The clouds continued to hang heavy overhead, threatening. He was tired. Scenes from old black-and-white detective movies ran through his head. The movies of Gary Cooper, Cary Grant, Humphrey Bogart had become a place to escape when he felt stressed. He passed the address he was looking for without finding a parking spot. Pulling a U-turn, he drove back slowly, and with some luck, he found a spot and parked. The Acheron Lounge had a look of an old-time music hall that matched Matt's mood perfectly. It had a massive marquee all lit up with hundreds of bulbs that seemed to dance, each bulb chasing each other around the sign. Below the marquee was a row of glass doors, bookended with posters announcing upcoming acts. One announced Mary Lou's show. It had a photo of an attractive woman, mic in hand, her head thrown back, her mouth wide and her eyes shut. Matt stood for a moment looking at the intensity of this beautiful woman. He pulled the door open onto a space and a second row of glass doors. On the right was a small ticket kiosk where a young woman sat reading. It took a minute for her to notice and look up. She appeared to be working on her homework, several books laid open and notes scattered across the small desk. Her mind was obviously elsewhere. She gestured for him to go in. The noise in the room hit him as he stepped into the club. He stood still in the dark for a second. On stage, a man with a toothy grin mauled the mic as he sang, accompanied by a bored guitarist. The enormous stage dwarfed the duet meant for a much larger band. The sparse audience was scattered, only a few people seated at candlelit tables, fewer still were watching the entertainment. To the right was a bar that ran along most of the length of the room. In front of the lines of bottles stood a single bartender in a black vest and a white shirt, busying himself polishing glasses. He looked small behind the large bar. Matt imagined there would be several bartenders on a busy night. He walked across the room and sat at the bar, more or less in the middle. He was the only one sitting there. He ordered a beer and sat mulling over what he knew about Alan. Staring into the beer's golden interior, he didn't know much. Matt caught the bartender's eye. "Yep. Got a minute?" "Sure." He made a face that said he didn't want to have a minute, but it was his job. "You seen this man?" Matt pulled a photo of Alan out of his pocket and showed it to the bartender. It wasn't a recent photo, but it was close enough. "You a cop?" the bartender asked as he put Matt's second beer down. No, I'm a private investigator.
For real?
No shit. I've never met a real PI. I was a cop, but it wasn't for me, so here I am. Anyway, you seen this man? Let me see. Maybe. There was a dude here a couple of days ago asking about Mary Lou, one of our singers. Looked a bit sketchy, but I only saw him briefly.
Did he talk to her?
Don't know. Honestly, I don't think so. Something big was going down with Jean and Mary Lou.
Jean?
Jean is the owner here. Jean Charon.
Oh, okay.
And you don't know what was going on?
Nah, I'm new here. There's something strange about this place.
The chef, Mr. Marassa, is famous. But he's a real piece of work. Got some weird ideas and some weird meals.
Weird how?
He has special meals for certain customers. I don't know. It's just weird. John's weird too. He treats some customers like royalty and others like garbage. There's a strange vibe here.
Thanks, Matt said.
The bartender shrugged and moved off, his job done. Matt finished his beer and slid off the stool, heading outside. He passed the girl reading behind the glass. She didn't look up. Outside, it had rained, leaving the streets shiny and empty. In the pocket of his trench coat, his phone rang. He dug it out, hoping it was Alan. It wasn't. The phone said, unknown caller. Standing in the light of the Acheron sign, he answered it.
Yeah?
Mr. Matthew Pierce?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Constable Kowalski at 52 Division. When would it be convenient for you to come down to the station?
What's the problem?
We need you to come down and help us with an investigation.
What's this about? How can I help?
We just have a few questions.
Questions?
It concerns an ongoing investigation.
Investigation? Into what?
I can't go into too much detail. However, we need to establish the movements of your partner in the last few days.
My partner? Alan?
Yes, again, I don't want to get into too much detail on the phone. When do you think you could come in?
He glanced at his watch.
Give me a half an hour. And he hung up the phone as he walked back into the lounge.
Chapter 12. The years passed. But it never happened. The years passed, and the dream lost its sheen. He went to play less and less. He realized how singularly thin the applause was, how no one ever actually watched him. At first he was annoyed, then infuriated, then broken. Soon he stopped having the dreams of playing for the devil. He stopped looking up expectantly as he played his songs, and simply stopped going to the open mic. His guitar stood lonely and abandoned, gathering dust in the corner. One night, watching TV, he saw his guitar standing there. He hadn't picked it up in months, and with a sigh, he decided to sell it. He felt it die, the dream, felt it slip away. He felt the loss and cried quietly in the glow of the TV screen. Years passed.
Chapter 13. Jacob gets a visit. Jacob sat at the kitchen table, staring at his morning coffee with Billy on his mind. He was going to miss him. He could be dumber than a sack of potatoes and unpredictable as hell, as quick to fight as to smile. But Billy was family, like a little brother. Jacob had an uneasy feeling. Something big was happening he couldn't put his finger on. It was maddening. And with what Brian had said, the pieces didn't add up. He couldn't understand what Billy had been up to out back of the judge's place,
Everyone knew you didn't fuck around with the judge. And why did he think things were going to change? To add to all this bullshit, the Skins were back. Years ago, they'd been around for a couple of days and brought a shit ton of trouble with them. They worked for the judge, so it could only be bad news. And what it was with this dream on repeat? It was fucking unnerving. Every time he closed his eyes, there was a crowd of people staring at him. Jacob finished his coffee and headed out of the kitchen. He grabbed his granddad's axe from the back door. Behind him, the door squawked and banged shut. The slight hint of warmth the afternoon held gave Jacob no pleasure. Jacob knew his granddad's axe was not designed for chopping wood. It was an ancient, bearded axe intended for something else entirely, but he wasn't looking for efficiency. He needed to do some thinking, and the repetition of chopping wood cleared his mind and helped him focus. The axe had a subtle energy Jacob could sense, especially when he wielded it. His hired hands were working on the grain truck, the same fucking truck they'd been working on for 3 days. He would talk to them after, but now he would swing, chop, and think. He walked through the yard to the back of the barn where his pa had started a woodpile years ago. It had been Jacob's farm for over 30 years, but it still felt like pa's. He gripped the axe and felt it hum. He knew it had been pa's and his grandpa's before that. When he was a kid, he had seen an old photo of a bearded man that grandma had said was his great-grandpa, holding this very axe. She had also said that the axe had a name, but Jacob couldn't remember what she'd called it. It sounded like Marcus, but with a Norwegian accent. He set a block of wood on the chopping stump. It wasn't birch, which Jacob preferred. But Dutch had come by with a load of fire-killed pine, and he would never say no to a free load of stove lengths. Jacob braced his legs. The axe handle was worn smooth by generations of men before him. An untold number of calloused hands had gripped the handle, most likely to kill. The bearded head was a dark steel gray, nearly black except for the bright, razor-sharp edge. On the side of the head were tiny markings worn almost to nothing. He hefted it over his head, grunted, and swung. The axe flew through its arc, bit deep, and the wood split with a satisfying chunk. Jacob reached down and grabbed another block of wood. It began. Chunk. He placed another block of wood, stepped back, and swung. Chunk. And another, until he was in a rhythm, and his mind could flow freely from what he was doing. He had many questions, and no actual answers. What Redhead said was still a confusing mess. And he didn't yet know what she had meant. He hated to admit it, but he would have to go ask the aunts to knit for him. Chunk. They were nice old ladies, but they did go on. And like Red, their answers would be as confusing as the questions. Chunk. The axe felt good in his hands. He could feel it hum, as if the men before him rejoiced in the rhythm, in the rightness of the repetition. Chunk. Behind him, two police cars rolled up quietly and stopped. Four doors opened. Four cops stepped out and looked around. Behind their sunglasses, their eyes were hard. They moved, shifting their bodies as their heads swung around, eyes scanning the yard. They advanced as one, like a pack of hunting wolves. Chunk. Jacob stopped, leaned on his axe, annoyed. It was the way it was. You pays your money. And yeah, you still get hassled by the cops, Jacob thought. Hey, Jacob, getting ready for winter? The first cop called as he walked up, pulling his sunglasses off. The other three moved forward quietly, surrounding Jacob. Hey, John. No, just doing some thinning. The cops were acting odd, like they had come to arrest him. They had an intense alertness that thickened the air and made everything feel slow. Jacob glanced behind him at the cop that stood there, trying to look at ease, trying and failing. This weird shit was continuing. Jacob sighed. He knew John for some time. They had history. Mary Lou had been John's niece, and he was convinced Jacob was responsible for her death. Jacob felt a small quiver in the axe, coupled with a low, guttural sound in the back of his throat, like an echo of the vibration in his hand. An excitement crept up his arm, as if the sound grew, and from deep down within he could hear chanting, low and solid.
"You gonna make a run this Saturday?" John asked.
"Yep, same as usual," Jacob said. The air was thick with tension.
"You hear anything about William Gibbons?"
a second cop asked, standing close to Jacob's right. Jacob looked at him.
"William who? Oh, Billy. Nah, ain't seen him since last week. What's up?" "Someone skinned him and his dog. What do you know about that?"
"Skinned, you say? Don't know shit about that,
and you know I don't." "Hell, I do. We have witnesses that saw you driving down 11 away from Billy's place."
The cop's face was red with anger. John said with forced calm,
"We're just trying to find out what happened."
He glanced at the cop behind Jacob.
"You talked to Billy recently? You know what he's been up to?"
"No, ain't seen him. He's supposed to be coming by next week for a pickup."
"What the hell's this all about? You know me, John. We've known each other since high school."
John looked away, an odd look in his eyes. "That's fine, just fine. When was the last time you saw him?" The red-faced cop pushed forward.
"Start talking. You know more about this than you're telling. What did you do with the silver? Where's the fucking silver?"
Jacob's only warning was a quick flick of John's eyes. The red-faced cop lunged forward, truncheon swinging at Jacob's head. Jacob snapped backward. The club brushed his beard as it missed him. He rammed the bony part of his skull into the nose of the cop behind him. The nose crunched with a sickeningly satisfying sound. Jacob shoved forward, his elbow scything around into the red cop's jaw. Immediately, the cop's eyes filled with water, blinding him. Jacob swung his axe from the ground upward, splitting the cop from crotch to head. He exploded like a popped balloon filled with blood, showering the woodpile with crimson. A shape of black smoke with razor teeth and blazing eyes tore upward from the flying gore and vanished. Jacob turned as another cop swung his baton at his head. He leaned to his right, and the club glanced painfully off his shoulder, spinning him. He used the momentum to continue the axe's arc and brought it down on the man's head, burying it deep into his brain. The axe barely slowed, splitting him in half. The cop slunk down, a bag of blood no longer supported. Again, the flash of black smoke with teeth and eyes. Jacob stepped to his right, turned the axe's path to the left, trailing gore, and caught the third cop on the neck, removing his head. Head popped straight up into the air, streaming blood with a surprised look on its face. Once more, the flash of smoke, teeth, and eyes. The last cop recoiled, pulling away from Jacob and his axe. He slipped in the bloody mess, and the axe buried itself in the cop's chest. He exploded, blood, smoke, teeth, and eyes. It became very quiet. Jacob swayed, feeling almost drunk. The axe in his hand hummed. The song, deep inside of him, was louder and more insistent. Voices chanted, wordless and low, as power coursed through him. Every part of him tingled with raw electricity, centered on the axe. Jacob wrenched it free and looked around the red-soaked ground. Skins. All of them were skins. Their blood was strewn everywhere. Across the yard, Jacob's face and clothes, and most annoyingly, his freshly chopped wood was drenched.
"Shit, what a fucking mess,"
Jacob said as he rested on the axe. Behind him, Norm, one of his hands, came running.
"What the hell's going on? You killed those cops!"
"Look again, nothing but skin bags. Put the car in the barn until dark, then go over to Billy's old place and leave them there."
"Well, fuck me. Look at this shit, Jacob."
In the back seat were two skinned bodies, he supposed were the cops the skins had been wearing.
"Yeah, it's fucked up. There'll be two more in the other car. Do as I say, Norm. Make sure nobody sees you. You got that?" I don't fucking know what's going on, but I'm going to find out. Tell Brandy I'm going to see the ants.
Stories from a Hard Place is a narrative podcast. Every Tuesday and Thursday, R.A. Jacobson presents another chapter from Hard Place, read by the author. Opening music by Noah Zacharin. Production copyright by R.A. Jacobson, 2022. If you'd like to support Stories from a Hard Place, please go to patreon.com/hardplace. If you would like a book version, either ebook or print, you can find it anywhere books are sold, including your local library. You can find links to all these and much more at Dead Cat Studio. That's deadcatstud.io. Thanks for listening. Keep the shiny side up.